Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Transition week here. We get rid of September and we go into October at the end of the week. Today is Monday, the 27th of September, 2021, in our 11th year here on the Buckmaster Show. Our Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, they have the naming rights. And every time we say where we are, we say Green Things. And it's certainly a worthy place to go for all of your gardening needs, for sure. The radio station is 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. And of course, they're doing e-commerce on their newly redesigned website. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Our Monday political face-off team of commentators with me, seated to my right, John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and former chair of the Republican Party in Arizona. Jeff Rogers, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. John, how was your weekend?
Wonderful weekend. How about you?
Very good. Thank you for asking. Did you get out and do anything?
Oh, played a little golf and just had a good time. Had a nice party.
Nice. And Jeff, any horseback riding?
Got some riding in this weekend, and it's getting a little cooler in the morning, so It's kind of nice.
Yes, and we had a little rain. We had about a half an inch up at our place. The airport had about half of that. They had about a quarter of that. So we're still in third place for the all-time monsoon record for the summer. But we need like another half inch at the airport. Maybe we'll get it before October 1st when the season
partially
ends.
Partially cloudy out there now.
Yeah. So we might get some. Jeff, the whole deal with COVID has really thrown a loop into the legal system. And I know you had the adventures of COVID continuing in court last week. In fact, we didn't think you would be with us because you had a trial going on, but we didn't think you were with us today. But that trial, there was a mistrial.
Yes, yes. We had the judges now use, instead of bailiffs, they use law clerks, and the law clerk assumes the responsibility of the bailiffs as well. And we had a law clerk who was notified on the second day of trial that his roommate had symptoms and had just tested positive for COVID. So in an abundance of caution, the judge granted the motion for a mistrial. And then we later found out that day that while the law clerk didn't actually have COVID or didn't test positive for it anyway, one more of the courtroom personnel that is in the courtroom at all times and would have interacted some with the jury did test positive. So this is, you know, we probably had half a dozen trials kind of go off the rails because of COVID, and mostly they've been jurors who've been exposed and or have gotten sick. So so it's still wreaking havoc with the justice system, and I don't see any real magical answer right now. The trials are very, very difficult as it is. We sit in a different part of the courtroom. We sit in what used to be the jury box where the lawyers sit there, and the jurors are spread out through the gallery where we're spectators.
Not, they're not in a certain jury box anymore.
They're socially distanced, and everybody wears masks. And you know, in criminal cases, you have a lot of little bench bar conferences where something will come up and you'll say, one of the lawyers will say, well, may we approach your honor? And you approach the bench and kind of whisper and talk about what the problem is and get a ruling and then go back to your seats. But now we're having to do it with like these little walkie-talkies that you put a headset on, and the judge then turns on this white noise apparatus, which is real loud hissing noise. And then we have to figure out that's how we were talking about the mistrial, was basically the judge just says, everybody put your masks, put your thing on, and we all put them on. And he said, well, we've got a COVID problem, and we discussed how to handle that. Then did. So, you know, it's kind of it's just, it's very awkward. I mean, if you've been doing this for as long as John and I have, you know, and say introduce some new wrinkle like this, you think to yourself, maybe I should retire as a trial lawyer.
Mm. But there is a mask mandate, right,
yes.
at court?
Yes, yeah. In the courthouse. Federal courthouse, state courthouse, city courts, justice courts, all of the courts have mask mandates. And many of the courts are still doing hearings by Zoom, minor hearings, particularly in city court and justice court.
Well, John, you haven't been to court recently, have you?
No, I haven't.
So maybe.
Be glad.
Just be glad you have not. It's a big week for the Biden administration. Things could go very quickly south, John. The government could shut down this week.
Yeah, all the Democrats have to do is raise the, they have the votes to, or the capacity to have the votes to raise the debt ceiling. They're the ones that believe in all this additional spending, so that if they want to do it, they should do it, I guess. But don't drag the Republicans along with it. We don't want all this additional spending. We're ready to vote for the infrastructure bill, but this additional $3.5 trillion spending bill on top of 1.5 for the infrastructure bill, that'd be a total of 5 trillion more. Remember, we've already spent in the last 2 years $6 trillion that we didn't have for the COVID problem. So we've just spent $6 trillion in the last 2 years, and now they want to spend another $5 trillion. The thing the Republicans agree on is the infrastructure bill, $1.5 trillion. We're glad to do that, but we've had it with this spending. It's just going to raise the debt by trillions of dollars on top of what the $28 trillion we've already got. But let me tell you, the full size of the American economy is only $15 trillion a year, and we owe 28. So we owe, if we took and every dollar of the American economy was given to the government, we still wouldn't pay off the tax debt or our deficit. We'd still have a $13 trillion deficit. This country has reached the point where we can't take any more taxing and spending. The Democrats are just going to spend money and tax. They're going to reduce the size of the economy as a result. All the studies show it. It's going to create inflation, and it's going to reduce the amount of money available in people's pockets, because they're going to be affected by these tax increases. No matter who you are, you're going to be affected through the tax increases and through the inflation that's going to result from this. The Democrats are desperate to drag the Republicans into this and make them enablers of the Democrat tax and spend law, and we're not going to do it.
All right, let's hear from Jeff about this.
Well, all of it wasn't Trump's fault, but he ran up the deficit faster and more than any president in modern history. And part of how he did that was with the irresponsible tax cut for the richest people in America and for corporations, which needs to be undone. And now we're stuck paying for that debt. 97% of the indebtedness this nation has incurred has happened before Biden became president. This is time to pay our bills. This is a matter of being responsible. And this is something that is routine that we've been doing for 75 years. When the debt ceiling needs to be raised, it needs to be raised, and it needs to be raised to pay for previous obligations. Now, Biden's got several things in the fire right now. That one could be solved by doing it through reconciliation, which is probably where we'll end up, because the Republicans are so irresponsible. They'd like to bring this country to its knees economically, so they can probably fix that problem there. But we also are running up against just running out of money. We need to pull a, I think it's Thursday's the deadline for a, an authorization bill for spending, and that needs to pass. And I'm not optimistic that the Republicans will be responsible about that either. And then Biden's got his other two problems, the large infrastructure bill, and then the one, the so-called $3.5 trillion bill that deals with a lot of things like health care and transportation and child care and many other things that are absolutely necessary. But that one, as most people seem to forget this, is fully paid for. It's fully paid for. It's fully and completely paid for by rescinding those tax cuts for the rich and for corporations. And that one will be fully paid for with those new taxation, which just takes us back to where we were before Reagan or before Trump gave out these monstrous tax cuts. So, you know, he's got several problems to solve. And, you know, at being Democrats, you know, they say we always form a circular firing squad. And right now we've got, you know, some of these really liberal members at loggerheads with more moderate members. And I somehow am confident that Pelosi and Biden are going to pull this all off. Now, we might not get the debt increase done yet, but that's not really set to be a problem until early to mid-October. So we got a little time to work on that one. But I think they'll have most of this stuff solved by the end of the week, if not early into
all
next
right.
week.
John, hold your thought there. I know you're ready to go here with a thought, but right now we want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. You had a great breakfast up there yesterday. The bacon is so good. I love the bacon. Had the scrambled eggs and bacon, and of course couldn't resist one of those chocolate croissants, and just a really great breakfast up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I didn't do the hash browns like you normally do, Jeff Rogers.
They're delicious. I like them.
Yeah, normally I do the hash browns, but I thought, oh, well, I'll just kind of do the bacon instead. But, John, it's about time you head up there to Mona's.
Oh, I'll be up there right away.
Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. Open each morning for breakfast, open right now for lunch. Be right back with our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, The RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. John Munger is with me in studio, and Jeff Rogers is here as well. John, it's your turn. We're talking about really big week for the Biden administration. The infrastructure bill is on the table and looming a shutdown of the federal government possibly by the end of the week.
Well, and the third thing that's looming is the $3.5 trillion Democrat socialist spending bill with all the taxes that come with that.
You would have been fine if that had not been in the, if it had just been.
I'm all for the infrastructure bill. And I think we have to raise the debt limit. The problem is, I'm not in favor of enabling the debt limit to go up to cover the $3.5 trillion additional spending bill. Jeff said a number of things that are incorrect. The biggest spender in American history was Barack Obama, not Donald Trump. When Barack Obama took office, the deficit was $10 trillion. When he left office, he doubled it. Barack Obama incurred more debt for the economy than all the combined presidents in history combined. Donald Trump did have tax decreases. The economy was thriving. Then COVID came along. The statistics show that by virtue of those tax decreases, the economy was booming until COVID hit. But of course, the spending just continued. Nobody stepped in, neither side stepped in to try to cut any spending. And now the Republicans are saying, look, it's time we finally exercise some responsibility. Democrats, won't you join us? And instead, the Democrats are going to go off and spend another $5 trillion in addition to the $3 trillion that we've already incurred with this COVID relief, or maybe it's $6 trillion for the COVID relief. Jeff is just wrong when he said it's all paid for. It's not paid for. It's all tax gimmicks and tricks, and they'll say they're cutting out so much taxes and so much spending, and therefore so much taxes by delaying a spending increase for 3 years or 5 years. But eventually, we're going to get hit automatically with that spending increase, so it's going to get kicked in. They're just trying to say, well, we're not going to spend it now. Yeah, but they want to spend it later. And it's going to be left to our grandkids. Meanwhile, they're putting our tax situation in where we'll have the worst investment tax status of any country in the Organization of Economic OECD. we will be the least favorable place to invest in the whole world by virtue of these tax increases. We're going to have inflation. We have tax gimmicks that mean that we're not going to save money. We're going to take the money out of the hands of the public. So I'm going to have less money. You're all going to have less money, to say nothing of inflation. We're going to give it to the government to spend, and you know how efficient the government is. And so they're saying, oh, that's a good deal. Give us all your money, and we'll spend it. We know better than you how to spend it. And incidentally, we're going to go in debt to do it and leave it to our grandkids. That is not right. It's not moral. And the Democrats need to get off the socialist spending binge and get back to reality and start looking at how can we cut some expenses.
All right, Jeff Rogers.
First off, Barack Obama halved the deficit that he inherited from George W. Bush, the same way Bill Clinton more than halved the budget deficit he inherited from Reagan and Bush the first. No, that's not, just not true, John. And not only that, but all of this is paid for, and it's paid for in a fair fashion, in fair taxes. The Biden administration came out this past week and tried to explain how 800 of the richest individuals in this country and corporations paid zero taxes in 2020. Zero. And that is outrageous. We need to fundamentally change this tax code to where the really, really rich and the corporations pay their fair share, not more than their fair share, just their fair share. And if they do that, we can eliminate this deficit with that, those kinds of fair taxes and fair policies.
The
polling is showing that between 65% to 90% of the people agree with Biden's Build Back Better plan and all of the different components of it that are contained within these. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be easy to pass, because we've got some moderate Democrats that are being speed bumps in the middle of the road for us.
If it's such a great deal, then the Democrats have to pass it, but even the Democrats don't want to pass it. And don't ask us to participate in your tax and spending. As for fair taxation, let me finish. I gave you a chance.
Hold on one second. You ought to be in favor of being responsible for the indebtedness of this country. And when I hear Republicans say they won't vote to increase the debt limit, they'd rather basically lose millions of jobs and run this economy into the toilet. I'm just shocked. I wouldn't be surprised to hear Trump say something like that, but some more responsible Republican, you would think, would be in favor of standing behind the indebtedness of the United States of America.
I'm not going to vote. I wouldn't encourage anybody to vote to raise the debt limit when they're talking about raising the debt limit to cover not only what we've got, but this additional $5 trillion in spending. I'm not going to encourage anybody to vote to raise the debt limit to cover and enable these huge increases in spending. It's just more spending. The Democrats control both houses, so vote for it if it's so wonderful. The problem is you're trying to get us to participate in your debacle, and we're not going to do it. So here's the problem. Jeff, keep classic Democrat line, oh, the rich aren't paying their fair share. The top 20% of taxpayers in this country pay 87%. 20% pay 87% of the taxes. The bottom 50% of this country pay zero.
Wow.
Jeff, now that is that, talk
I,
about.
I'm not sure those figures are correct.
Those figures are correct. Okay. I can show you the statistics. The top 20% are paying 87% of the taxes, and the bottom 50% are paying almost nothing.
All right. Let Jeff respond.
How is it that the richest 1% pay nothing? How do they get away
with
that,
John? I'm all for going after those 800 people. That's fine. But don't base $5 trillion spending on 800 people. Go after those 800 people.
We used to have marginal tax rates that were very fair in this country, and that began to disappear starting with Ronald Reagan. And the rich got richer, and the middle class disappeared, and the poor got poorer. And that formula has been the formula for the Republican Party for a good 40 years now. It's time we discarded those policies and treated everybody more fairly, and it's time that we created a land of opportunity where everyone can succeed, not just the few who are born with a silver spoon in their mouth.
Donald Trump, income equality for the lower group of earners was going up for the first time in 20 years. Under Donald Trump, the lower income groups were getting larger pay increases and making more percentage-wise than were the wealthy. That's what Donald Trump did. We had the lowest unemployment rate in the blacks, the Hispanics, and the lower income groups were making more money percentage-wise than they'd ever made before in known history under Donald
John,
Trump.
That's just not true.
That
there
is
were millions
true.
More
Look
jobs
at the numbers,
created in the
Jeff.
Last 4 years of the Obama administration than there were during the entire Trump administration.
That was starting from zero.
If
you start from zero and create one job, you've got 1,000% or 100% increase in jobs. That was because of the Great Recession. And that had nothing to do with Barack Obama. That's because he was starting unemployment from huge unemployment. Yeah, we got some of those jobs back.
All right. All right. That's going to wrap it up. John, good to see you. Thank you for coming in. Jeff, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Monday Political Face-Off with John Munger and Jeff Rogers, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Their website, moesgallery.com. Check out that website, newly revamped, and we will be back on the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. In a moment, we'll be going on the live line for our conversation with Dr. Matt Hines. But first, I want to talk about Green Things. What a great time of year to get over to Green Things as we transition into October. That means things are going to look really, really good in your garden this fall. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful 13-acre site. And when you're over there buying all your things for the garden, also check out Zocalo. All that great merchandise, much of it handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Their website is zocalovillage.com. Green Things website, greenthingsaz.com. Now on the live line, Dr. Matt Hines, Democrat representing the 2nd Supervisorial District on the 5-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Hines, how are you?
Doing well, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well. And like you, I monitor the daily COVID cases from the Arizona Department of Health. And what I'm seeing, Dr. Hines, we're plateauing here. I don't see the cases going below 150 per day. That would almost be a good day. But I do see them pushing up to 300 cases a day. I'm not seeing any progress. Are you?
You're right. I think plateauing is a good way to describe it. That's something that we've heard from Dr. Cullen as well as Dr. Garcia, our public health leaders at the county. We are, it's better than spiking upward, but it is not improving either. So we still have some work to do.
Burned out. So many people in your profession. New survey out saying that the pandemic, 3 in 10 healthcare workers now consider leaving the profession. Some doctors are refusing now to treat unvaccinated patients. Some of your thoughts about that?
Honestly, I do this every night. I'm in the hospital. My COVID patients are unvaccinated. I have not admitted a fully vaccinated patient with sufficiently symptomatic COVID as to require hospitalization. It's just, I'm sure somewhere in the country those exist, very rarely, but 99%+ of the people that I'm admitting at my hospital and that I know that we are in the county are unvaccinated. So all of us, nursing, hospital physicians, and everybody involved in patient care right now, our COVID patients are unvaccinated. And so that does make it very, frustrating, because at this point, there's no lack of vaccine. There's no run, there aren't lines and lines wrapping around clinics so that people can't get vaccinated. There's some hesitancy, which we are working to overcome. But truly, we can stop this pandemic right now in its tracks. And we've just chosen not to, and to continue to traumatize. I mean, it's not post-traumatic stress for the healthcare workers, it's ongoing trauma, right? And so I feel it myself. I watch as our hospitals across the country, especially here in Pima County, struggle to get nurses. They can't. They sometimes are paying them three and a half times more than the going rate. And they're still saying, no, thank you. Mm. It's not the money. I can't take it. I can't treat another patient that shouldn't be here suffering from COVID, not one more. I can't do it. And it's hard for me to blame them. It's very, very difficult to see this. over and over and over again. Now, a problem that we have decided to prolong and create ourselves as humans. It's difficult to see.
I want to ask you to share with our listeners, what are these people that you're admitting on a daily basis on the shift that you work nights? What do they say to you? Did they believe this crazy nonsense conspiracy stuff? What are they saying, Dr. Matt Hines?
So, and for talking about the COVID ones, because the majority of the patients I'm admitting are actually patients that are suffering from uncontrolled chronic medical illnesses that have gone out of control because of COVID, because they couldn't get in to see their doctors and whatnot. But for the COVID patients that I see, yeah, they typically, I'd say the most cases, they just hadn't gotten around to it. There was some degree of hesitancy. In some cases, folks had mentioned that they had seen or read some stuff that was concerning or troubling, and they maybe just hadn't really gone to the additional effort to get things clarified. But this, it truly, having so much misinformation and just pseudo non-science running around social media and on the internet, that is so damaging to what vaccines do and what they have done for us. Look at smallpox, look at polio, look at measles and mumps and rubella and on and on. And, the history of vaccinations, it's one of the greatest medical advances that humanity has ever brought about. And we've allowed this to happen to it. And it's confusing to people. So in most cases, I don't fault these folks. They are understandably concerned. Some populations have been experimented on in certain ways and are sensitive for other reasons too. But it's time to really buckle down and focus and get through that hesitancy, get those questions answered, and then get vaccinated with the most efficacious and lowest and then best safety profile of any vaccine that we've developed so far. I mean, it's truly incredible what we have, and it's so strange that we have to work so hard to get people to take it. We're looking at millions of doses spoiling, right, going bad. Mm. So we're going to have to start shipping them to other countries, as we should. Because if we can't get the people of this country to take it, we owe it to the rest of the world to make sure there's no other variants cropping up anywhere else, to get it to sub-Saharan Africa, to get it to South America and Central America, get it to these places where they could still have outbreaks and make more variants that could really compromise globally the entire community.
The city has been very successful with their mandate. Now, whether or not there's going to be a challenge here when this new law, the end of the week, takes effect, whether or not they're going to have a challenge there. Would you have liked to see the county, rather than these disincentives to employees who don't take it, just say to all, if you're a county employee, you got to be vaccinated?
Of course, because that is the appropriate thing to do. We are public servants, and it's certainly I wouldn't consider that anyone any of the residents of Pima County would look at being served a virus potentially, with their during an interaction, say with a county employee in a public facing role, as something that they'd be interested in, right? So we owe it to the community we serve to be vaccinated, just like I do, because I'm a physician in a hospital. And so do our nurses. And nobody likes being told what to do. But gosh, in some cases, this is just the way it is. And you have to, we have to be safeguarding the lives of our patients and of the general public when you're in a public service role like a county or municipal employee. I strongly believe that. I stated that during the board meeting when my colleagues decided not to move forward with that requirement. And we've seen in studies, actually, surveys have started to come out showing that when Raytheon, our largest private employer in Southern Arizona, says everyone here has to be vaccinated, thinks it actually, when these companies, when other entities step up like this and say, no, this is the rule, let's just move on. It's incredibly safe. It's now FDA approved. It's what we have to do to keep everyone safe and to stop the pandemic. Move on. And then that changes minds. People, if they haven't really looked at the vaccine very closely to see what they think about it, they do, because now their workplace is saying, hey, you're going to have to get this in the next month or two, or you're going to have to go somewhere else. And they start looking at it and they get their questions answered. It is actually moving minds a bit. It's changing minds about vaccine mandates and the vaccine in general. When you have the federal government, now all hospitals and skilled nursing facilities and rehabs, it will all have to have their employees vaccinated, of course, like I think should have been months ago. So these kinds of moves by industry really do help a lot in terms of changing the minds of the public.
All right. We will transition after the break from COVID to what some are saying, a new low in city-county relations. We will tackle the whole RTA issue with you, Dr. Hines, and get your take on this big dust-up over the future of the RTA. But Buckmaster takes a break right here. We continue with Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zilkalo Village Studio. Boy, this would be a great time to get over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over there, and everybody comes back and they say the same thing. Bill, I had no idea. It's a great area of the Southwest, only about a three-hour drive, and with the recent rain, the Gila National Wilderness looks really good. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all the things to do, and there are a lot, and all the great places to stay. So southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our live line conversation presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management with Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat, representing District Number 2 on the 5-member board. Dr. Hines, we're hearing more and more that city and county relationship really kind of at an all-time low, not only over the Tucson water, the differential water rates that will be coming later for residents of unincorporated Pima County. But right now I want to zero in on this whole controversy over the Regional Transportation Authority and the renewal of the RTA. The city has basically given the RTA board a deadline of next February to kind of fix what the city feels is an inequity over the voting system of the board members. The city wants to see a weighted system. What is your solution? As noted in today's paper, front page story, there is a Dr. Matt Hines solution to this. What is it?
So this is actually incredibly important for us to maintain. I fully support the RTA next process, including Tucson, as a full partner at the table. That's the way that we're going to continue to grow, the economy of the area, attract businesses of all size to Southern Arizona. The regional approach to transportation is so incredibly helpful for everyone, for our not only commuters, users of public transit, but again of businesses looking to come here and grow and establish here. So we truly must keep that that perspective to sort of septate off and have Sahuarita doing its own thing and Oro Valley doing its own thing with its own share of the sales tax revenue, and Tucson breaking off, as it seems like they've indicated they're willing to do. This is very distressing for me. So it's something that I brought forward to discuss at a recent board meeting, and then we didn't elect as a board to make that the official policy of the supervisors, but neither was it, and no other policy was adopted either. So the idea is a kind of a modified version of weighted voting. So the weighted solution, yes, that I proposed was to basically give every existing member of the seven non-City of Tucson, non-Pima County members, continue to have them with one vote, and then give the unincorporated Pima County population, which is represented by, in this case, Supervisor Scott, two votes, so two members, and then three members for the City of Tucson due to their vast differences in population. Now, this isn't directly proportional representation, but it is. It does allow the City of Tucson to have a bit larger of a footprint to reflect the fact that it's 52% of the population of Pima County, and I believe that something like this hybrid plan would respect Tucson in a way that would hopefully invite them back to the table to be partners for RTA next. Otherwise, I worry, politically speaking, and also from a funding standpoint, we won't have a successful RTA next at all.
And you want to go on the record, you want to say, and I think I heard you say, you are a supporter of regional transportation.
Yes, absolutely. It's what makes this RTA process, the ongoing one, and of course that my hope is for the RTA next to be successful as well once we get through some of these hiccups. This is what helps to foster economic development in the region, and it makes companies of all sizes attracted to coming here from other places, along with many other things as well. But that regional approach to transportation is so vital, so crucial for economic development. It really is important.
Wasn't this state mandated, though, the way this board is set up and with the proportion? Wouldn't it require state intervention to change it, Dr. Hines?
One way would be a legislative change, but I read the law again, and the composition of the PAG Regional Council literally is what RTA, the RTA voting board is. That is in statute. But it specifically says members, it refers to members in multiple places. It never says one vote per jurisdiction. It says one vote for per member of the regional council, the PAG regional council. I submit to you that the PAG regional council could, by majority vote itself, simply say, you know what, in light of these discussions, we will move forward with two additional members from the city of Tucson, and then one additional member from unincorporated Pima County, and we will move forward with this modified membership that effectively gets you that weighted structure without having to go through a complete statutory change, which could take, frankly, months to years.
Does this, in effect, then dilute the places like Sahuarita, the smaller communities, this board, if it were constituted, the way you envision it, Dr. Hines?
No, it doesn't, because all of the other voting members, and I'm going to set aside the single member from the State Department of Transportation, because that's a bit of a different, that's not representing any population specifically, but you have the city of South Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, Sahuarita. They, with that, with their one vote out of nine, it would become one vote out of 12. They are still getting a larger share proportionally of the vote than their population would require. So they're still doing better.
We have to keep this together, though, is your contention, I believe. I mean,
yes.
This is a... hopefully it's a hiccup. I'm a big supporter of RTA, and I want to see this worked out. And are you hopeful that maybe that this is going to be worked out?
I am. I think that we can make this happen. I think that now that we all know kind of where that, you know, the city of Tucson is very serious about not doing this with the rest of the region, unless their concerns are heard and acted on. We now know that. And I think the PAG Regional Council and the RTA board know that very clearly, and that's going to help kind of light a fire so that we can all work together. One other little thing that came up that appears that we're out of step with federal code, that we have a director of SunTran, for example, and jurisdictions of, I believe it's greater than 200,000 population, must have that transit director as part of any such like an RTA type process or a PAG. So our PAG regional council really needs to have an additional spot for voting membership from a local member of a transit authority, and that would be, in this case, the director of SunTran. So we might want to add an additional spot there to make it a total of 13.
All right. Before we let you go, the county is moving toward, it looks like, legal action, setting the table over the water rate differential. Do you want to go on record that you hope that is not the way that the county goes?
I do hope it's not, because I just think that, and Chuck Huckleberry mentioned this in a recent meeting, having, government jurisdictions sue other jurisdictions, at the end of the day, you're going to be wasting a lot of taxpayer dollars. We should just figure this out. At this point, we don't have, unless that just happened in the past few days, I've not seen the completed the study that the city of Tucson has been pulling together in terms of the cost of service analysis that would presumably, if it does, defend the 10% differential rate they're proposing, then the county really doesn't have a legal footing of any kind. The city did it in, I would say, probably the wrong order. They should have done the cost of service analysis and then acted based on that analysis result. But as long as they have a study that shows that, I don't think that this county has any real legal footing here. Now, if the study comes back in the next weeks to month and shows, oops, there is no justification of a 10% differential for users outside of, incorporated Tucson, then the city's going to have to look at reversing it.
All right. We're going to have to leave it right there. Dr. Hines, thank you very much.
Sure thing. My pleasure.
All right. Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. A very full hour as usual. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.